Your mom is so fat that when she walks through the front door, her ass shows up 10 minutes later.
I got a reaper smoking woman. She'll smoke whatever's going round. I got a reaper smoking woman. She'll smoke whatever.
Hey, thanks to Blues Hammer for the cool ass music. And let me plug a couple other people while I'm at it. Go check out ihaveyoucovered.net. If you need anything cool like a logo for your Facebook page or social media, or a business, or if you need a book cover, go check out Emily over at ihaveyoucovered.net. She did the Gonzo Chronicles logo for the podcast. Kick-ass job. And I'm working on the next Gonzo Chronicles, as everybody knows, so shout out to Gary Quapis for the book covers. GaryKComicArt.com. Make sure you check that out. And Blues Hammer, as always, on social media. I bet they'd even send you an autographed copy of the CD if you wanted. Tell them Cyrus Alderwood sent you. All right. Let's knock that off. All right. Today is March 31st. It's a few minutes after 9 p.m. And my cat is using my leg as a scratching post. Can't say that feels very good. Anyway, it's been a few days since I've did a podcast. Thanks to Elizabeth Cooper for being on the last one with me. Did some dirty limericks. Those are funny. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. You know, just fair warning. Some rough language. But it was a fun show. It certainly was. And she and I will be doing another Murders and Mysteries on Facebook and YouTube. A little later on in April, Monday. I don't hold me to the date because I don't have a calendar, but is the 19th on a Monday? Maybe it is. Hell, I don't know. But we're going to have some fun in this little show. If I sound a little monotone, overlook it. I just got my second COVID shot today, my vaccine. And I'm feeling a little tired tonight. So hopefully I don't have any kind of side effects from that. If I turn into an alien and... or something alien bursts out of me, I'll keep you guys posted. I think we're good, though. I think we're okay. But today we're going to talk about the Hellfire Club, which is a famous secret society that actually still runs to this day. And was Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, was he a member of the Hellfire Club? And what kind of crazy stuff was going on in his house in Europe? So we're going to get into that. We're definitely going to get into that in the show. Couple other things I want to talk about first. Man, for the love of God, when I was in high school, like I know we did crazy stuff. Like everybody always says, well, when we were that age, we didn't do that. Yeah, we did. We did all that. We were actually a lot more fun than probably today's kids. But even in wild ways. But so I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this week, and she teaches school, and she was telling me about a couple of crazy things that happened in her school. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That actually happened. And then I thought back to some of the crazy stuff that happened when I was in high school. And I'm going to talk about, after I tell you what this girl told me happened in her school, I just like, I'm totally disgusted by it. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to get into the mystery of the Phantom Shitter. Yeah, you heard that right. The Phantom Shitter. Back when I was in high school. My senior year. But first of all, let me tell you what happened. She was telling me about what happened in her school. And then we'll get into the Hellfire Club. I guess someone had told her about something going on in the bathroom. Classes were already in. But there was, I guess, a boy and a girl feeling a little randy, I suppose. A little frisky. They go to the boys' bathroom, close the stall, and Yeah, they're getting it on. They're getting it on in the boys' stall. Now, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic where everybody has to have, you know, a mask and hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Why in the hell would anyone go to the boys' bathroom to have sex? Seriously. I know you're a teenager. You're kind of strapped for places to find. Find a janitor's closet. Find an unused classroom. A stall in the boys' bathroom is not the right place to be. You know, I can just remember how disgusting the boys' bathroom was when I was in high school. As a matter of fact, any dude out there listening, have you ever been to a men's room any freaking where where it was halfway sanitized? I mean, has there ever been a bathroom, a public bathroom somewhere that you would have sex in? Seriously. How freaking gross. All right, I can see some dumbass dude wanting to do that. But what the hell kind of girl has such low standards that she goes into the men's bathroom? I don't know. That was one incident that happened to her this week, or last week. The other one just kind of blew my mind, too. Because I guess somebody had told her, like, listen, there's something going on in the very last stall in the girls' bathroom. All right. Four lesbians. First of all, you're using the handicap stall because there was more room, I suppose. Four lesbians in there all kind of getting it on, you know? It's like, that's some weird stuff. That's just like, that's some totally weird stuff to catch. And again, a public bathroom at school. And she was like, I don't know what to say. Just like knock on the door and like, you know, I'm like, you know, you got to be bold with some of these kids, man. They don't give a shit if you knock on the door. They're going to keep finger banging each other until recess, till lunchtime or study hall. You know, I mean, just like bang on the door. Hey, Scissor Sisters. Your ass out in 2 minutes or the whole school's going to know what's going on. Seriously. Again, not even a guy involved this time. What kind of girl goes into a public bathroom, you know, for, you know, a party like that? That's, anyway, blew my freaking mind. And then I thought, you know what? Like, first of all, I thought, appalling. Who the hell has, what kind of students have sex in high school? And then I remember this couple that was dating when I was in high school. And I think they had a, rumor has it that they did it everywhere in the school. They would often sneak into the room overlooking the auditorium and get it on when no one was down there. Okay, sure. Whatever floats your boat, man. But I don't recall ever hearing of them going into the bathroom. That's just a wee bit much. And any of my friends that are listening to this and went to high school with me, you probably know who I'm talking about. However, there is a mystery that lives to this very day that no one can seem to get over. And no one talks about it much. But I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I remember this guy, somebody used to pin themselves as the Phantom Shitter at good old Richlands High School here in Virginia. And it was the year 1991-92. So earlier this week, I texted a buddy of mine and I said, hey, Jason, do you remember the Phantom Shitter? And I'm going to read these texts so I get them back. Ha, ha, ha. I was just talking about that not long ago. And I'm thinking the hell you were. But I'm sure he probably was. But, like, you know, what are the odds of two people, like, at the same time thinking about the Phantom Shitter all these years later? Anyway, this whoever he was, if you're listening to the show, Phantom Shitter, you are a legend. A legend. So who was the Phantom Shitter? All right. Somebody would go around in our high school and never got caught doing this either, but would just take a shit in random places, not the bathroom either. And he would always leave like a card or notes, and he would sign it, the Phantom Shitter. And, you know, just so that everybody knows that not all heroes wear capes, because if the Phantom Shitter wore a cape, he could probably get away with it. And there's a couple of teachers we knew he struck, but he would always, you know, single rose beside the turd and a white card signed the Phantom Shitter. And I guess the crescendo of the career of the Phantom Shitter after doing this various places many times and people wondering, like, who in the hell is this? He struck. I mean, he went beyond the pale, went beyond the call of duty. One morning we all show up and we, you know, when the bus runs or your parents drop you off or whatever, you get out, you go into the gymnasium. You sit on the bleachers till the first bell rings and then you go to your homeroom. And anyway, homeroom that morning, people showed up, and I think her name was Miss Lane. I think it was Mrs. Lane. Anyway, yep, right on the desk. Big turd. And a rose. And a card. Signed the Phantom Shitter. I mean, who in the hell would think to do that? It was hilarious. It was freaking hilarious. Gross as hell, but hilarious. So fast forward about a year later, I'm at a community college. And I go upstairs at the library. And I'm looking for a book. And I go all the way to the very end of the upstairs row. Right before you get to the steps that take you down outside. So there's a stairwell there that you could go downstairs and either come out down on the bottom floor, not in the library, or go outside. Well, right there, I guess someone took their opportunity. There was no note, there was no rose, but the biggest Duke I think I've ever seen. Like if you knew it wasn't a human that did it, you would think a bear walked in there and used the last row. I pity the fool that had to clean that stuff up. But damn, classic move. Phantom Shitter, you're a hero. All these years later. All right, now that we got the Phantom Shitter out of the way. Hey, by the way, if anybody's listening to this from my high school and you have an idea who the Phantom Shitter is, I'm not going to dox the guy. I don't want anybody losing their job 30 years later or taking a shit. However, I would encourage that person to do stand-up comedy. Or at least try to get a practical joke show, because those ass clowns on True TV can do it. My man, yeah, we need another round of Pranked or something. However, the Hellfire Club. So, I'm curious how many people have actually heard of this old secret society. And I'm going to ask you a question. What the hell does Ben Franklin have to do with the Hellfire Club? Sometimes you'll find a documentary on Travel Channel or History or something, one of these about secret societies, and occasionally they'll mention the Hellfire Club. So first of all, what the hell is the Hellfire Club? It was a British secret society for the elite, actually, people that are standing in high society. It's ironic, however, that a lot of the members of the original Hellfire Club were also involved in the church and had held prayer sessions and either worked or helped financially support abbeys. So this all starts with a guy by the name Sir Francis Dashwood, from my research. And again, I implore anybody to go out and do their own research, go check out some YouTube videos. You'll find some interesting stuff. It all starts with Sir Francis Dashwood. So this is a guy that was kind of born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's born into wealth and privilege and greatness, actually, in that time. His father died when he was 15. And that made him actually the Baron of Dashwood of Wycombe. So he travels around Europe and really starts to make a name for himself. He's impressing people all over the place, even at such a young age, especially people in the high society circle, the elites. And what he does is actually he starts creating social clubs for people. And then he created the Hellfire Club, a very secret society at that time. So in the 1730s, this club would meet in the what was called, actually at the time called the George and Vulture Inn. And they would use the name, the Brotherhood of St. Francis of Wycombe. That was what they would go by when they were in the inn. But this group just really started to flourish and grow. And eventually they started calling themselves the Order of the Knights of St. Francis. And it was incredibly hard to become a member. So he made the location of the meetings eventually in an old abandoned ruins of a Cistercian abbey. And it was remote, so there was no eavesdroppers. They actually spent some money doing renovations on this. And they decided they were going to meet twice a year. So when they would meet, everyone would gather in costumes. And the meetings were brought up. Actually, there was a book that was published in, according to my notes, 1779, called Nocturnal Revels. And these meetings are actually brought up in that book. This is the first time it was actually publicly mentioned that there was this club called the Hellfire Club. And, of course, in that book, they described it, having fine dinners, fine dining, wine, and, oh, yeah, a lot of women. However, now, according to what I read, initially when the Hellfire Club started, they were kind of bored with the day-to-day life and the rituals of the church at the time bored them. So they wanted to do something different, have a little bit more fun, a little bit more lively. And even though they had a lot of women of, loose moral character, I guess you could say, it was forbidden, like no hanky-panky, right? They're not having, wild orgies or anything like that. However, they eventually turned that abbey over to the church. And they moved the meetings to some underground caves and tunnels. And once they did that, really the tone of the Hellfire Club really started to change. They decorated the walls and the halls and the tunnels with mythological themes, a lot of phallic symbols and just other items of like sexual nature. Even toys that women would use at the time. And of course, according to some of the records that I read, they actually went way out of their way to mock religion. And they actually had what they called obscene parodies of religious rites. So this leads to a guy, an English writer, who was actually a Whig politician by the name of Horace Walpole. And what he claimed was that the members, and this is in quotes here, practice was rigorously pagan. Bacchus and Venus were the deities to whom they almost publicly sacrificed to. Nymphs and hogsheads that were laid against the festivals of this new church gave the locals a clear indication of who their new gods were. So, at that time, I guess the Hellfire Club changed from something just to have something different, have a little fun, into actually something very, risque and immoral for the times, and pagan. And even to this day, you can find statues when you go down to the Hellfire Caves, as they call it. You can actually go there. Statues to various gods were erected in the caves. Now, once this started happening, Hellfire Clubs actually started popping up in different places. Well, sort of. By 1925, the acts and rituals of the Hellfire Club was described as total debauchery. They wore ritual clothing. There were legends of black masses and actual Satan worship at this point. They brought in numerous prostitutes for orgies. And the prostitutes were referred to as nuns. It was a lot of heavy drinking at this point. To this day, actually, a number of Hellfire Clubs still exist. There's one at Trinity College in Dublin. You can look this up on the internet. There's another one at Maynooth University. I looked in to see if maybe Aleister Crowley, who dubbed himself the wickedest man on earth, to see if he was a member. But I could not find that he was a member. And the reason I wanted to look there is because the Hellfire Club actually had a lot of worship of Dionysus as a Christ-like figure. And Aleister Crowley did the same thing. However, the Hellfire Clubs and Crowley actually shared a very similar, actually the same motto. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law, I guess, if you want to fill that rest of that out. So these Hellfire Clubs went from something just to have something more fun to do and ritualistic to outwardly mocking religion to actual black masses and satanic rites, according to legend and lore, and people who have maybe been a part of it and talked about it. Now, here's the other strange part. Benjamin Franklin, he actually had a house in Europe. And it was rumored that, yes, that Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding members, our fathers of this country, was a member of the Hellfire Club. If he was not a member, he actually knew several people who were, including, because he always rubbed elbows with high society, including a friend that he had who was a doctor who had a sketchy reputation, let's say. So, let's fast forward from the 1700s and from the early 1900s to 1998. That's right, 1998. Benjamin Franklin, I'm reading this from Culture Trip, actually. Benjamin Franklin wore many hats in his lifetime. Founding father, scientist, author, printer, political theorist, politician, Freemason, postmaster, inventor, statesman, and diplomat. But a macabre discovery below the London townhouse that Franklin occupied during his post as ambassador to the court of St. James led to the discomforting question, was Franklin also a murderer? In 1998, a team of renovators working on restoring the former Franklin abode uncovered over 1,200 human bones in the basement of the house. The renovators and conservationists were stunned, and the bones were quickly analyzed. Let me kind of back up here and kind of explain how these renovators got there. There's actually an organization in Britain called Friends of Benjamin Franklin. It's a kind of like a nonprofit. And what they wanted to do, that was that particular location on Craven Street was the last, the only remaining home of Benjamin Franklin that anybody knew about. So they wanted to preserve it. And they, you know, got the money to do that and start doing renovations. So that's when they went in under the restoration and uncovered over 1,200 human bones in the basement. Scientists looked at the bones and deduced that the bones did date from Franklin's day, and that of the dozen plus bodies that were found, six of them were children's bodies. So 1,200 bones, they sort of put them together and found it was over a dozen. Actually, I read it was 15 humans, 15 people. Historians quickly began digging into the mystery. Franklin was renowned for his humanistic philosophy, and if the discovery that there were literal bodies buried in his basement had uncovered foul play, it would have been a major blemish on his legacy. Franklin's history as a Mason was one of the historian's initial points of inquiry. Though shrouded in secrecy, Masonic rituals have dark, unknown undercurrents, which have at times gone horribly wrong. For example, in a 2004 initiation ceremony, a new member was accidentally shot by a member who meant to fire an empty gun, but instead fired a loaded one. But when historians dug deeper into what was going on in the Franklin home during the years the bones dated back to, they discovered the real culprit behind the bones was one William Hewson, a young medical student who was a close friend of Franklin's and had lived with him in London. How was Hewson connected to the bodies? In the 1700s, dissection of cadavers was illegal, thanks to a church-imposed taboo on exploring much of the human body. Naturally curious, Hewson wanted to know more about anatomy than he could learn from the relatively paltry standardized teaching in his curriculum. So he took matters into his own hands. He made the rounds of cadaver brokers and grave robbers, who operated on a black market of sorts, and began conducting experiments on the cadavers to teach himself about the body. Now, historians discovered that the bodies had many precise cuts that matched those that medical instruments could make. The house was ideally situated down the street from a wharf, which bodies could be smuggled off ships under the cloak of night and deposited through the basement a short walk away. How much did Franklin know about what was going on in his basement? It's unlikely that the highly curious and intelligent man was unaware of what was going on, but there is no evidence that he participated himself. And much to the relief of Franklin enthusiasts, the world over, there has been no need to recast one of the 18th century's greatest polymaths as a serial killer on the side. I don't think Ben Franklin had anything to do with any of this personally. He would have way too much to lose. However, yeah, I kind of agree. How would he not have known that this young man was that was also rumored to have been part of the Hellfire Club or had people associated with? And you got to wonder if they were doing ritualistic sacrifices. That was another question as to why this happened. Was this related to the Hellfire Club? However, when they did examine the bones that were broken, actually, they saw even cuts through, like they had been sawed with a medical instrument. The skulls had drill holes in them. So, yeah, I mean, you can see what was going on there. I'd like to think Ben Franklin didn't know about this, just because I'm kind of a romantic about the history of our country. But, you know, again, how could you not know what's going on under your house? He's a very astute man, a very genius man in many regards. So, I don't know. What do you think? These Hellfire Clubs that popped up, they certainly make no secret as to what they've been into. I actually discovered a couple of websites. One of them was a website for the Hellfire Club, where I think maybe you could try to be a member. But they certainly had things for sale on there, like books of rituals and incantations. Kind of creepy stuff. It wasn't any of this so-called innocent stuff that it started out being. I don't think it actually started out innocent at all. That's just my opinion. There's nothing that I read that showed that. From everything that I read, that it started off just to have a little fun. But why would this guy be going around setting up secret societies and secret groups like that just to have a little fun? You know, you can always find a party amongst the elite and have a little fun. So there was probably some other things going on, some other intentions. And if you have to keep things that secretive, probably nothing good coming from that. So, hey, this has been one hell of an episode. The Hellfire Club, my cat scratching the shit out of me. The Phantom Shitter. Lesbians getting it on in the school bathroom. What the hell else do you want an episode of the Gonzo Chronicles? This is nothing but weird tonight. But nonetheless, I thank you for tuning in. Also, I want to kind of, in a couple episodes ago, I mentioned Teresa St. Francis's book, What Happens the Day After. I talked with her today. We've scheduled the podcast for the 8th. I think it's a Thursday. So we'll certainly talk. And if you get an opportunity to check out her book beforehand, if you have any questions you want me to ask her, drop me an email at cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com or any suggestions for any kind of upcoming episodes, topics you want to have me discuss or have some guests on to discuss. If my cat could talk, he would probably be bad-mouthing me right now. So maybe I'll have the cat on here. I load him up with catnip. Give him a microphone. Let him run around. All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. Check me out on social media. The Gonzo Chronicles Facebook page. And CyrusAlderwood.com. And also, if you get a chance, check out one of my books. I'll pitch one this week. I'll just go back to the original Gonzo Chronicles. Instead of some of the other books. If you get a chance, go to Amazon.com. Just search for Cyrus Alderwood. I've got two books out in the Gonzo Chronicles series. The first one is called A Martian We Will Go. The second one is called Rougarou Blues. They're both wildly entertaining, kind of funny, a bit smartass, and not very PC. So enjoy. Yeah, I certainly appreciate it. If you like the book, feel free and jump on Amazon and leave me a comment and a ranking. Oh, by the way, we had some new comments on a couple of books. For those of you who listened to the show that went over there and left a comment and a ranking on Amazon, thank you so much. That's greatly appreciated. You have no idea how much that means to me. So you guys have a great night. Have a great weekend. If I don't feel like total dog shit after the second COVID shot, I will maybe pop on here and talk about something weird in a couple of days. You never know what kind of stuff I'm going to hear that happened in high school. Actually, I talked to a friend earlier today that said they might have seen the Jersey Devil. Maybe one day she'll come on and talk that story. Anyway, cheers, everyone. See you down the road.